So as Marta said, my name is Michael Trummel. I'm going to be a third-year graduate student at the University of Washington, and I'm going to talk about the early growth of supermassive black holes and cosmological simulations. In particular, I'm going to be talking about the dynamics of these black holes and whether or not we need black hole advection in our models to model them correctly. So again, I want to reiterate the importance of modeling supermassive black holes in a cosmological context. As this video portrays, the early evolution of galaxies and the early growth of galaxies happened in a very dynamically interesting environment. You have a very rich merger history and gas accretion history that's playing here, and that's going to affect how the galaxy grows and in turn how the black hole grows. And so you need to be able to model the black hole in this way to really get a true sense of how a black hole is growing with their host galaxies. Now, this presents a problem because cosmological simulations tend to have very large distance scales that they care about. You're not able to really model all the physics that are going on, say, the subparsec scales of a black hole. And so all of the physics involved in accretion and feedback and all of that has to be parameterized in analytic prescriptions or subgrid parameters that you put in your simulation, but you don't actually model directly. Again, things like formation of black hole seeds, the accretion rate, feedback rate, all of these things is modeled below the simulation itself and not actually directly modeled. And what I'm going to focus on today is this last topic, which is the idea of black hole tracking, or the dynamics of a black hole and trying to keep the black hole in the center of their dark matter halos. The problem is as follows. So shown here is a gas density profile of a typical 10 to the 11th solar mass halo at z equals 4.5. The vertical line represents the gravitational softening length of our simulation, which is essentially the distance scale, the distance resolution of our models. And so in the central regions, we have very high gas densities. The black hole is able to grow rather quickly because it has lots of gas around it to accrete from. Once you get past that gravitational softening length into the outer regions, the density drops off exponentially, and you'll be stunting the growth of your black hole. This is a problem in cosmological simulations, because when you're evolving the black hole dynamically, you're not actually in a nice smooth distribution of gas and dark matter as you are in reality, but rather you have clumps of gas and dark matter that you're simulating that's going to depend on the resolution of your simulation. And on large scales, gravitationally, things work out nicely, but when one of these clumps of, say, dark matter or gas comes close to your black hole, it can affect the dynamics of your black hole. It can feed it energy and cause a process called dynamical heating. And so that black hole is going to gain energy and move outward to the lower density regions of your halo. And this process is all based on resolution and is not physical. And so your black hole will not grow. In addition, you don't have very efficient dynamical friction because, again, your particles are massive, probably on the order of the mass of your black hole. And so dynamical friction won't be able to bring the black hole back to the center, and you'll have very low accretion rates. And so to overcome this, people do a variety of different things under the title of advection, so providing some sort of artificial force to try and keep your black hole towards the center of your halo. This can be one example of this is defining a radius around your black hole where you're looking at the gas around it and using this to dictate which direction you want to push your black hole, whether choosing the center of mass or the gas particle at the deepest potential. But one of those things, you're pushing the black hole towards what you think is the center of your halo. Another method would be to give your black hole a very large dynamical mass. So you keep the physical mass low and when you're calculating accretion or the physical processes like that. But when you're actually evolving the black hole dynamically, you give it a very large mass so that it'll overcome this problem of dynamical heating because it'll have a large mass compared to your dark matter particles. Now, all of these things have disadvantages, some severe disadvantages. The advection forces that you apply are sudden changes to the black hole position, and so you can still get very chaotic movements of the black hole in that central region, which can affect your gas dynamics as well as accretion onto your black hole. If you couple the black hole to gas particles around it, you're always pushing the black hole towards gas, meaning that your black hole actually could not exist, or it would be hard for your black hole to exist in a void region, which is, again, unphysical. There's no reason why your black hole should always be pushed towards the gas. And if you use a large dynamical mass for your black hole, you are drastically affecting the dynamics of your galaxy in that inner region, sometimes even affecting, say, the formation of a bar instability. But possibly one of the more interesting questions to ask is the assumption of advection even correct? Are we correct in assuming that black holes should stay very close to the center of their halos? The plot shown on the right here is the black hole occupation fraction as a function of halo mass for different redshifts. And we see that black holes that form in high redshift initially form in rather small halos. And so they're forming in small, relatively shallow potential wells in a very dynamically interesting time. Right? You have high gas flow accretion. You have the large merger rates. And in addition, these halos have a dynamically changing dark matter profile. So the animation on the right is from Ponson and Governato 2013, which shows that dark matter halo profiles of galaxies, particularly low mass galaxies, evolve over time. And they become flatter in the center. And so your black holes existing in these halos where the potential is changing over time, it's going through all of these interactions. It's not obvious that the black hole should actually not be moving dynamically around the central regions of this galaxy. And so this can be possibly a mechanism, a different mechanism, for limiting black hole growth early on in their lives. So do we actually need advection? So I've gone through some of the disadvantages of advection. We're missing things with advection. We're adding in physics to our simulations that are changing the dynamics of it. But maybe they're necessary evils. Maybe there's no way to model black holes realistically without advection. But it has been shown, for example, Meyer et al. 2007, were able to very realistically model the dynamics of a black hole in a merger given very high resolutions. Now, while cosmological simulations could never get these higher resolutions, our stipulations for the black hole dynamics are different. In a cosmological simulation, you really only want the black hole to stay, say, within your smoothing length from the center. Right? So to test this, we run an isolated NFW dark matter halo, and we put a black hole in the center of it. The halo is 10 to the 10 solar masses, or a virial mass of 10 to the 10 solar masses. The black hole has a mass of 10 to the 6. The idea being that this represents a situation that we'd be likely to find for a young black hole that formed in the universe. We put the black hole in the center, and we see how this dynamical heating affects it for two different resolutions, a lower resolution run and a higher resolution run, where we simply change the mass of the dark matter particles we're using. And what we see is, for the low resolution run, indeed, after about a billion years, the dynamical heating takes over and the black hole migrates outward and begins to oscillate wildly around 0.3, 0.4 kiloparsecs from the center of the halo. So this is a bad situation to be in. Your black hole will probably not accrete very much gas. It's moving very quickly and it's far from the center. However, the high resolution case, the black hole stays well within the resolution limit of the simulation. If we give it an initial kick to the black hole, again, we see the same results. The high resolution case, the black hole stays well within the smoothing length of, from the center. And in the low resolution case, it moves drastically outward. And so it seems that a higher resolution can solve this problem, at least partially. Now, does this work when actually modeling galaxies in a cosmological context? So we use the code Changa, which is the successor to the smooth particle hydrodynamics code Gasoline, which has been used to solve already a variety of problems in galaxy evolution. Changa has all the same physics as Gasoline, but has an improved SPH model that's able to resolve Kevin-Helmholtz instabilities, as well as have a much higher performance. So it's able to run a lot faster. And with Changa, we're going to be able to obtain much higher resolution to our models. And what we do is we run what we call a zoomed-in simulation. So we have a large cosmological volume. We pick a smaller volume within that context and rerun it at higher resolution. So this picture here, the gray particles represent dark matter. On large scales, we're modeling dark matter very low resolution, just enough to keep the large-scale gravitational torques in place. In the smaller regions, we have much higher resolution around our point of interest. And then in only the very inner part, where we actually care about stuff, do we have the gas dynamics that are computationally more expensive. So the gas density is shown there, again, only in that region, but evolved at very high resolution. So we're able to obtain, using this method, high resolution while still keeping our evolution in a cosmological context. The disadvantage, of course, is that at the end of the day, we don't have a statistically significant sample of galaxies. We only have samples within this small volume. Now, the simulation we run is of a progenitor galaxy to what would be a modern-day 10 to the 13 solar mass small group. We run the model without black holes until z equals 6, and then we pick the 10 most massive halos, and we place a black hole seed at the center of each of those halos. The black holes are allowed to accrete via Bondi-Hoyle accretion, and the dark matter mass is 1.26 times 10 to the 5 solar masses. As a note, this is about twice as good of a resolution as the high-resolution model I showed you before of the NFW profile. And so the question is, are we able to resolve this dynamical heating issue? And it ends up that despite this high resolution, this plot shows the distance of black holes from the center of the most massive halo in the simulation as a function of time, age of the universe, and noted are the masses of the halo at different times. And we see that even though they start at the center, the black holes migrate outward. And so the three plots here are for different seed masses that we have. And all the seed masses, regardless of how massive your seeds are, they still migrate significantly outward. Their migration shuts off very quickly, or their accretion shuts off very quickly. And why is this happening? Is this dynamical heating happening still in these models? Well, what we can look at is we can compare the distribution of black holes to the distribution of stars. So this shows a simulation in two angles. The red represents gas, and the yellow represents stars. And if this migration process is happening as a result of dynamical heating, because stars are also collisionless particles, they also feel dynamical heating, but they're at a lower mass than the black holes. They actually feel more dynamical heating than the black holes do. And so if you start the black holes within the stellar population as we do, we start at the center of the halos, we should see that the black holes remain within the stellar population if this is solely due to dynamical heating. What we see is that black holes almost preferentially move away from the stellar population in these models. So something else entirely is happening here. And what we find is if we run the same model, so we run the 10 to the 6 solar mass seed model for with accretion in the blue line and without accretion, the green line, we find that without accretion, we're able to stay within about a kiloparsec from the center of the halo, usually within a few smoothing lengths of the center. So very promising results in terms of removing the dynamical heating. But what this tells us is that somehow accretion is playing a role in the migration of these black holes. Now, how much of this is actually a physical thing? How much does accretion actually affect the dynamics of a black hole? And how much of this is a numerical result, a new thing that we have to overcome in our simulations? It's still something that we're trying to work out. Do we have to account for resolution in a different way when we're talking about accretion in our models? I should mention this could also be due to not being able to, still not having enough dynamical friction to bring black holes from the center. So maybe the accretion always pulls on the black hole, and maybe our models, despite the high resolution, still can't perform the dynamical friction that it needs to do. So I'll just leave you with this. In general, our group is interested in looking at galaxies and black holes, the coevolution of galaxies and black holes in a variety of different environments. And we're interested in, for one, looking at how the dynamics of black holes is affected by things like accretion and how that can affect your accretion rates themselves. How can they regulate black hole growth? And whether or not we need black hole advection in our models. And we're also in the future going to look at the seed formations. Do we get more realistic results when we, say, have a more self-consistent model for forming black holes in the simulation? And of course, we'll explore different feedback and accretion algorithms as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Time for questions. How much do they grow when you say that accretion?
They barely grow at all. So as you can see from the plot,
funny.
They very quickly go from, very far out. So the blue line, right, very quickly gets to all the way to 6 kiloparsecs from the center. So there's barely any gas accretion happening. There's an initial accretion.
So there is some initial accretion that changes the result.
Yeah.
How much is that?
It's only about, say, 1% or so of the mass of the black hole.
So it's very little.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, what's your resolution again here?
The resolution, so the dark matter particles in this high-res region are about 1.26 times 10 to the 5 solar masses.
And
so
the physical scale?
The softening is 2.5 parsecs, or 2.5, 250 parsecs.
250 parsecs, okay, thanks.
So the models with accretion, do they also include feedback?
They do have feedback, yeah.
Okay.
But the feedback is done energetically, not kinematically, so there should be no effect on the black hole dynamics from the feedback.
But have you tried to check without feedback?
No, not yet, but that's definitely a plan.
Thanks. So are you tracking the momentum of the accreted gas? When you track black hole accretion, do you track the momentum transfer from the gas?
No, we don't. So that could be an issue, is that there might be a problem either with the resolution or the way we're conserving momentum. So that's something that I definitely will look at in the future, too.
So if I understood correctly, you place these seeds in a 10 to the 10-ish solar mass halo, right?
And then in this particular case, the halo starts at about 5 times.
Right. So just a quick thought, like what if you had the means to self-consistently somehow place the seed in a smaller halo and then let it evolve to 10 to the 10 solar masses? Because then things might look different, because the halo might accumulate sort of a dense cloud of gas, something around it, which might prevent it from moving around so much, because the black hole and gas would act as a system, which is different than just the black hole.
Yeah, so that's one major reason why we are interested in a more self-consistent seed formation. But we have run it with a simple prescription for black hole seed formation that involves looking at early star formation and placing black hole seeds in regions where stars are already forming. And we still get major migrations. We haven't done these exact tests on those runs, but we do see that the black holes don't grow very fast because they do migrate outward. So. Sorry. Yeah, so this should be modeled by drag force. So I mean we modeled the momentum transfer. Oh, sorry, just need to repeat the question.
Yeah, I was asking about black hole drag through the gas, which you can clearly include, right? And
so we do have a momentum transfer from the gas to the black hole, so that should. Are you talking about something different? Oh, adding an extra force for the drag from the gas. No, we don't do that, but we could.
That matters.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to clarify, I thought you said after his question that you're not including
We don't track the momentum transfer, so that's something that we're going to look at. But we do transfer momentum from.
Okay, so there's an effective drag force from the momentum accreted.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So there should be some effect that the gas is having on the black hole dynamically, just from momentum transfer. But we don't have any explicit drag force term that we use.
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah.
I think it's time to move to the next speaker. So let's thank Michael again.